The Story Behind the Bus. On December 1, 1955, Rosa Parks, a 42-year-old African-American woman who worked as a seamstress, boarded this Montgomery City bus to go home from work. On this bus on that day, Rosa Parks initiated a new era on the American quest for freedom and equality. She sat near the middle of the bus, just behind the 10 seats reserved for whites. Soon, all of the seats in the bus were filled. When a white man entered the bus, the driver, following the standard practice of segregation, insisted that all four blacks sitting just behind the white section give up their seats so that the man could sit there. Mrs. Parks, who was an active member of the local NAACP, quietly refused to give up her seat. Her action was spontaneous and not premeditated, although her previous civil rights involvement and strong sense of justice were obvious influences. "When I made that decision," she said later, "I knew that I had the strength of my ancestors with me." She was arrested and convicted of violating the laws of segregation known as Jim Crow laws. Mrs. Parks appealed her conviction and thus formally challenged the legality of segregation. At the same time, local civil rights activists initiated a boycott of the Montgomery bus system. In cities across the South, segregated bus companies were daily reminders of the inequities of American society. Since African Americans made up about 75% of the riders in Montgomery, the boycott posed a serious economic threat to the company and a social threat to white rule in the city. A group named the Montgomery Improvement Association, composed of local activists and ministers, organized the boycott. As their leader, they chose a young Baptist minister who was new to Montgomery, Martin Luther King, Jr. Sparked by Mrs. Parks' action, the boycott lasted 381 days into December 1956, when the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that the segregation law was unconstitutional and the Montgomery buses were integrated. The Montgomery bus boycott was the beginning of a revolutionary era of nonviolent mass protests in support of civil rights in the United States. It was not just an accident that the civil rights movement began on a city bus. In a famous 1896 case involving a black man on a train, Plessy versus Ferguson, the U.S. Supreme Court enunciated the separate but equal rationale for Jim Crow. Of course, facilities and treatment were never equal. Under Jim Crow customs and laws, it was relatively easy to separate the races in every area of life except transportation. Bus and train companies couldn't afford separate cars, and so blacks and whites had to occupy the same space. Thus, transportation was one of the most volatile arenas for race relations in the South. Mrs. Parks remembers going to elementary school in Pine Level, Alabama, where buses took white kids to the new school, but black kids had to walk to their school. "I'd see the bus pass every day," she said, "but to me, that was a way of life. We had no choice but to accept what was the custom. The bus was among the first ways I realized there was a black world and a white world." Montgomery's Jim Crow customs were particularly harsh and gave bus drivers great latitude in making decisions on where people could sit. The law even gave bus drivers the authority to carry guns to enforce their edicts. Mrs. Parks' attorney, Fred Gray, remembered, "Virtually every African-American person in Montgomery had some negative experience with the buses, but we had no choice. We had to use the buses for transportation." Civil rights advocates had outlawed Jim Crow and interstate train travel, and blacks in several southern cities attacked the practice of segregated bus systems. There had been a bus boycott in Baton Rouge, Louisiana in 1953, but black leaders compromised before making real gains. Joanne Robinson, a black university professor and activist in Montgomery, had suggested the idea of a bus boycott months before the Parks arrest. Two other women had been arrested on buses in Montgomery before Parks and were considered by black leaders as potential clients for challenging the law. However, both were rejected because black leaders felt they would not gain white support. When she heard that the well-respected Rosa Parks had been arrested, one Montgomery African-American woman exclaimed, "They've messed with the wrong one now." In the South, city buses were lightning rods for civil rights activists. It took someone with the courage and character of Rosa Parks to strike with lightning, and it required the commitment of the entire African-American community to fan the flames ignited by that lightning into the fires of the civil rights revolution.